Good morning, I'm Alisa Z. You're listening to the Sunday edition, and we're rounding home stretch on the year. Happy, healthy new year to everybody. And it's been quite an interesting year on so many fronts, whether we're talking our health, our finances, politics. I don't think there's been a more, we're just going to call it interesting, year in recent history. It's not all bad, it's not all good, but we have to find some balance, and where do we go from here? And I'm here today with Lauren Leach, with Conway McKenzie. And Lauren, when we're talking about real estate and we're talking about businesses, there's been a lot of doom and gloom this year, but we're, I hope, starting to climb out of it for some people. And I'd like to talk about where we go from here. Let's talk about bankruptcies, how that works, and the restructuring of businesses, the situations in malls, what's happening with malls who may have lost some of their stores through the pandemic. And then probably the lion's share of what we have to talk about is what has happened, what's going to happen in the restaurant industry. I know those are some big bites, but I know you're up to it, right, Lauren?
I will give it my best shot. I think so.
All right. All right. Let's start with bankruptcies. If you could explain to our listeners, because many people hear the word bankruptcy and they think that means closure. It does not necessarily mean closure at all. So if you could explain that, that would be helpful.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Alisa. So there's typically two types of bankruptcies that we hear about most frequently. There's Chapter 7 and Chapter 11. Chapter 7 bankruptcy involves a complete liquidation of the company. So if you hear of a retailer that's filed Chapter 7, that store will close and it will no longer exist or reopen. More often, though, we hear about a bankruptcy in Chapter 11, and that's when there's a reorganization of the company and a reorganization of the debt, and that retailer emerges from bankruptcy. And so what I would say the most common misconception is that someone will hear, let's take an example, Ann Taylor filed bankruptcy this year. It's parent brand. And so, Ann Taylor's going out of business. That's not necessarily the case. Right. Ascena, the parent company, did file bankruptcy. And so Ann Taylor and Loft and Lane Bryant, the portfolio companies within it, will have some store closures. But the plan is, under Chapter 11, for there to be a reorganization of the company and for it to emerge. And so typically when that happens, you'll see a restructuring company like ours, Conway McKenzie, come in, reorganize the company, restructure the debt, and come up with a plan to make the store and the business profitable again.
Okay.
So there will be an assumption of some of the leases, which means that some of the stores stay open, and some of the stores will have rejected leases, which means they will close.
Okay.
But if you look at some of the bankruptcies from this year, let's start with maybe the mall-based tenants, JCPenney, Lord & Taylor, J.Crew, Stein Mart, Men's Warehouse, the Ascena brands I just mentioned, Ann Taylor, Loft, Lane Bryant, Justice. Many of those will still remain open.
And that's good to know. It really is. And everybody is hit so hard, has been hit so hard through this pandemic. And I just hope people realize, again, we've got to give some glimmers of hope. We need to. And when we look at like JCPenney, for example, that's a big deal here in southeastern Michigan and wherever else their stores are, because it's something that it's a place that's been affordable and right middle of the road for people. And I think it's one of those staples people count on. It's not a specialty store. They know they can go get their kids' school clothing, a pair of socks and pots and pans for the kitchen, that kind of thing. An affordable place for middle America, as it were. So when we take a look at a JCPenney and we say, okay, it's a restructuring, folks, please keep supporting these businesses so that they do not go away, to whatever level you're able to support them, because first and foremost come our groceries. Human beings are just struggling right now, and I think we need to look at everything a little bit more holistically. As the businesses are restructuring, on a personal level, we need to restructure too, don't we?
We do. That's a great point.
When we look at so many businesses temporarily closing this year, and there have been such high percentages of retail businesses temporarily closing, and a large percentage of those will not reopen after the first. The food industry is among those that has been hit so very hard by the pandemic, and they're losing hand over fist. What do you think we're going to see in 2021 as we slowly but surely come out of this with the restaurant industry? And what can we as consumers help to keep things building and growing?
Well, the restaurant industry has been hit really hard throughout the pandemic. And I think the wave of restaurant bankruptcies will probably continue. Mm-hmm. COVID will accelerate that trend of bankruptcies and shrinking footprints and store counts. What I think we're going to see a lot of for these restaurateurs is shrinking their footprints. Okay. So it wasn't uncommon historically to see a restaurant open in 5,000 to 8,000 square feet and have a huge dining area and maybe some private rooms for a banquet or an event. Mm-hmm. What we're going to start to see is those restaurants who are thinking ahead and planning to meet changing consumer preferences, they're going to look at not only shrinking their footprint, but also the number of stores.
Okay. So when we're looking at smaller places potentially, do you think we'll see, well, I guess it's just hard to predict. Eventually they will grow again, but people are going to have to get back to basics in order to do their own internal restructuring, right?
That's right. I do think, Elisa, though, that as we sort of return to whatever this new normal looks like, people will be anxious to get out again and live life. And hopefully this times with spring or summer where people want to get out anyway, and we're all vaccinated and we're risk-free, and people want to make up for lost time. And I'm just hoping that means people choosing to spend more time in restaurants, travel more, go shopping in the stores because they haven't been able to experience that interaction, that social interaction that we're all craving.
Yes.
And hopefully that will really help these restaurants and retailers pick up sales where they had missed out for so long.
Lauren, once we have hit that level of herd immunity and enough people are vaccinated and we are feeling a little bit of normalcy, what's the first thing you plan on doing to break out? What are you going to do?
I have been dreaming about all the vacations I want to take. The only problem is I have children and a job.
Oh, there's that. There's that.
So I want to take like 15 vacations, but I think I'm going to need to stagger those out and be a little bit more realistic. But
yes.
Really, I just want to go out to dinner with friends. I want to go out to dinner with my husband. I want to shop again. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to travel for work, interface with my clients, see my properties. I just want to get out there again. I feel very isolated
yes.
in this world. And I think most of our listeners probably can relate to that.
I guarantee they can. Yeah, just to go out. I've never been one who has enjoyed a crowd and noisy restaurants. I would like my table to just be all by ourselves and let us laugh as loudly as we want, but I don't want the noise from anywhere else. No, I am not a prima donna, but I am so looking forward to the vibe of a noisy place. I want to go to the theater. I want to go to the ballpark. I want to go to Comerica Park, and then I want to go to the Fisher, and then I want to sit in a movie theater. God bless Netflix, but I want to sit in a movie theater and eat popcorn and drink my Diet Coke and eat my red licorice. That's what I do when I go to the movies. So the movie theaters have also been hit, the entertainment industry, so hard, hasn't it, Lauren?
It really has. I mean, Chuck E. Cheese, for example, filed for bankruptcy this year.
That's right.
Earlier this year. And then we have all the movie theaters who haven't been able to have anyone come in to see a film.
Yep.
They've been hit especially hard.
I just, like you're saying, I'm anxious to get back to the next point. We have about 5-6 minutes left here. What can you offer us? And I know it's a tall order when we're still in the middle of all of the doom and gloom, but as we round home stretch, we close the door on 2020 in just a few days, and we're going to tiptoe into 2021. I don't want to put a pin in anyone's balloon because it's not like we're going to turn the calendar and poof, it's wonderfully, magically going to be all perfect. However, there is hope on the horizon. There is light out there that is the daylight is seeping through the clouds. So if we can shine some of that light and let folks know, yes, it is very frightening right now, but because of the vaccine and so many things shifting, we do have opportunity for forward movement now. If you can highlight some of those and take us home in positive fashion, we'd be so grateful, Lauren Leach.
Sure. I mean, I think 2021 is going to be the year for hope and for change. And like you said, we all need to take a personal inventory and look at what matters to us. Everyone in 2020, I think, can agree that we value our health more than anything. Mm-hmm. We value our relationships, our friends, our family, who we haven't been able to see, and we long for that connection. And I think as it relates to malls and retailers and restaurants, my hope is that as we go into the next year, we have that opportunity to take our health and some herd immunity and vaccinations and be able to be with the people that we love again and have that experience of going to the mall with our family, our kids, our parents, walking around, shop, have dinner, go see a movie, and have that experience that we've all been craving. And then interestingly, I think from a work perspective, because that affects so many of our listeners, the future of office space is going to look different. I think we're going to see a very gradual reentry of employees to the traditional workspace. Mm-hmm. Companies right now are taking the time to really reassess their office space requirements, as many of us have learned how to work from home and how to do it in an efficient and smart way. And so companies are learning that what we thought might have been impossible was to work from home or have more balance really is achievable. And so as we go into 2021 and companies reimagine what their office space needs are, my hope is that there will be more balance for all of us too. And for those of us who may have spent an hour commuting to and from work, can have a little bit more extra time with their family or to go out for coffee in the morning because they don't have that commute, because they have that flexibility to work from home or from a flexible work environment. So I think 2021 is going to be a really good year.
I love the way that is framed. And it's also giving people more options for where they live, right? Because we're not necessarily tied to where the office is like we once were, are we?
Great point. That's a really great point. As we have more technology on our side, as our employers have seen that we can be effective working from home or working from your parents' vacation home in Florida, wherever it may be, we've got more transient people this year who have proven their effectiveness. And as a result, you don't need to live close to the office anymore if you have that flexibility.
How old are your kids, Lauren?
I have got one, a little boy, Jax. He's 7 months old.
Aww.
And I've got a toddler, Ellie. She's 5 and a half, and she is living her best kindergarten life.
All right. When your kids are a little bit older, well, I guess just when Jax is a little bit older, because Ellie already is old enough to understand everything. But as the kids grow up and you look back at 2020, in 2 minutes or less, tell me, when you look at them and you say, kids, one of the most important lessons I learned as I lived and was able to figure out how to not just strive and thrive through the pandemic, the one most important lesson I learned was, fill in that blank for me.
There's nothing more important than health. Nothing.
Yep.
Nothing material, no job, no toy for them, that at the end of the day, when we saw so many people struggling and sick and dying, that we really learned that health is the most important thing. And especially for me and my family, when we were able to have a baby in the middle of this, I mean, I delivered in May, in the thick of things.
Wow.
Right? When it was really scary, I didn't even know if I'd be able to have my husband in the hospital with me for a period of time.
Right.
leading up. You know, there were a lot of things I think that we can complain about in 2020, and we certainly do. We're all human. But I try and keep perspective and think 2020 brought me a baby, and one that we had to work really hard to get.
Yes. Oh.
And I'm lucky. I have a healthy family. My children are healthy. My husband's healthy. My parents, who are older and somewhat considered at risk, are healthy. And beyond that, nothing else really matters. My grandfather, who was a Holocaust survivor, he died at 98, and he always said, if you have health, you have wealth.
Words to live by. Lauren Leach with Conway McKenzie, thank you so much for the lessons you teach and May your grandfather's memory be a blessing. He just taught us all a whole lot. Thank you very much. I appreciate you.
Thanks for having me, Elisa.
And thank you for spending your morning here with us. Once again, I'm Elisa Z. You're listening to the Sunday Edition.